Matthew chapter number 14 tonight. Matthew chapter number 14. Let's all stand together as we read God's Word from Matthew chapter number 14. We're going to be looking at a very familiar passage, but I'm not going to be looking at it in a way that most people would and giving the whole story. I really want to use it to bring out a few words and to cover a sin that is often in the church of God today. In Matthew chapter 14, you're familiar with the story where Peter's going to walk on the water. Peter's out in the boat, and so are the other men. It's late at night, and Jesus comes walking on the water to them, and they cry out. The Bible says in verse number 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea." Verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out," and I want you to notice these next two words, "for fear." Notice verse 27. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.'" Then the Bible says in verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?'" Tonight I'd like to preach on a message, on a subject that I believe, just like the sin of bitterness, it would be one of them root sins. A sin that if it's in our life, it will carry out and affect so many other areas of our life, and that is the sin of fear. Let's look tonight to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight. Lord, we anticipate your Spirit's movement tonight. We don't want to have at all the spirit of, well, it's the last night and everything's all finished up and this is the wrapping up type of message. Lord, I pray you'd give us an eagerness and an anticipation for what you have for us still tonight. Lord, the Christian life is not over. We have not learned all that you have us to learn. We have not arrived spiritually speaking. We have not apprehended. But Lord, we want to press on. We want to know more about you. We want to be more pleasing to you. We want our lives to be more pure and more holy. We want to be greatly used of you, God, and I pray tonight that you would use me to speak to these people tonight. I pray you'd give us listening ears, and Lord, I pray you'd give us obedient hearts tonight. I pray for your liberty and power. Lord, I pray if there's any person here, young or old, who does not know Christ and the forgiveness of their sins, when they die, there is that fear of spending eternity in a place called hell. There is a fear that I would not spend eternity in heaven. I pray tonight that you'd help them to know the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, God, that the sin of fear would be dealt with, would be confessed and forsaken, and that, dear Lord, you would help us to have victory as a result. Help us to be greater soul winners. Help us to be greater witnesses. Help us to have greater testimonies as a result of dealing with the sin tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, with much thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to talk about the sin of fear, and I want to address three things tonight. I want to give you fear defined. I want to give you fear's disability, and I want to give you fear's defeat. I want to, first of all, discuss what is fear. When we throw out the word, and we'll use it oftentimes, oh, I'm afraid of the dark, or I'm afraid of this, or I'm afraid of that, we'll use that term, and there was back in the 90s, there was that brand of clothes called No Fear, and we've used that term before, but I want to take the Bible and define what fear is. And one person said, nothing is dynamic until it's specific. And that's what I want to do. I want to hone in on what fear is. Then I want to talk about what fear does. What fear, how fear disables us. How fear is one of those things that will hurt our life. It will handicap us, as I used the word the other night. It will restrain us in three areas. But then I want to talk about how fear can be defeated. How can you win continually over fear in your life? Before I begin, I do want to make you aware that in the Bible there seems to be two types of fear. And it all depends on what we are fearing. God says that a fear of Him is right. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The idea of the word fear is a regard for its power and its ability. And so when we have a regard for God and who He is, that He is holy and almighty, that He judges sin, that He sits upon the throne, and that He executes righteousness. When we have that godly perspective of Him, it is known as a fear of God, and God delights in that because it causes us to have wisdom. When we realize who He is, it makes us want to know wisdom so that we might please Him. That is a godly type of fear. Tonight, for the duration of the message, I will be talking about an ungodly type of fear. What fear, the type of displeases God. The type of fear that would make us have broken fellowship with God. The type of fear that would make us be hindered in our service for God. I want to make you aware of something that just came to my mind that the Holy Spirit just said. Oftentimes when we think of abiding, we think that we live a perfect life. I believe the essence of abiding, as we've been talking about, is that as sin is revealed in my life, I am willing to confess it, I make it right, and I obey in that area. It does not mean in my life, we talked about what abiding it is, how you can be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. It does not mean that every sin in my life is absolutely gone. Because there's a lot I need to grow in. There's not one person here would say, right now, there is nothing at all wrong with my life. I don't think there's any areas that need improvement. No. The idea is, as far as I know, I'm obeying what God has revealed. That's why church is so important, that I continually hear more of what God wants and more of what God wants. And as He shows me what He wants, I abide in it. I say, okay, I will obey, I will follow You. And so tonight you might say, I believe I'm walking in the Spirit today. Walking in the Spirit is not just the all-encompassed truth that boom, once you just walk in the Spirit, we don't need the rest of God's Word. No, we walk in the Spirit, and as He shows us other sins, we confess it so that we might remain walking in the Spirit. And tonight I want to deal with the sin of fear by first of all, defining it. First, I want you to know that the sin of fear is, first of all, an emotion. It is an emotion. It is a part of our passion. I want you to notice what happens here, and I want to prove it from God's Word. God says in verse number 26, they cried out for fear. Then in verse number 27, He contrasts two emotions. If I said, I'm happy today, we understand that's an emotion. I'm sad today, we understand that's an emotion. Notice what He says in verse 27, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And so what He's telling us here is this idea of fear is contrasting this idea of cheer. So that helps us to indicate that fear is an emotion. Did you know in our Christian life we can be governed by our emotions? We ought never to be governed by our emotions. We ought to govern our emotions by something else. You have the ability to control your emotion. No, I don't. I can't control my emotion. I mean, you have no control of your emotions. Yes, you do. You can make a choice based upon the Holy Spirit's help that He can help you overcome emotions. How can it be that someone can pass away and yet I can still have joy? Because I can have joy in the Lord. It's a choice. People today, though, live based upon their emotions. This is why we would say we would disagree a lot with certain movements, certain charismatic things, because they come to services and all they want is the emotion. And I felt an emotion when I was at service, and they want service after service to be emotion, emotion, emotion. And what they find is they live on this roller coaster of emotion. Emotion can govern our lives. And tonight, many of us are governed by the emotion, some people call it the passion that's inside of us, of fear. I want you to notice, secondly, as we define it, secondly, it is a sinful emotion. Now, obviously, I mentioned this. I'm not talking about fear towards God. We're going to target what type of fear it is, but I'm indicating that this is a sinful emotion. How do I know it's a sinful emotion? Because in verse number 27, the Bible commands, be of good cheer, and then it says, be not afraid. Anytime God would command something in His Word, that means to break His command would be sin. And so many of us here in this room are afraid right now. You're afraid of finances. You're afraid of people's opinion. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of the future. You're afraid of telling someone about Christ. Did you know to be afraid in all those areas are sin? To be afraid tonight of what's going to happen in my finances. To be afraid of what's going to happen in the future if I make this decision or I don't make this decision. To be afraid to tell my coworker about Christ is sin. And I'm making you aware of it tonight. You may not have noticed it, but it is a sin. I want you to notice, thirdly, that it is a sinful emotion that is aroused by an expectation of harm. Notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says in verse number 26, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, the previous verse tells us it's the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night means it's 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. The first watch was 6 to 9, and then 9 to 12 is the second watch. 12 to 3 was the third. 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. They left the evening before to go across a 5-mile wide lake. They have been rowing for upwards of 10 hours trying to get across, and the storm is so bad they can't do it. So you got to imagine tonight that you're on this boat. This boat is not sitting there still. This boat is being tossed back and forth. Waves are coming over, maybe hail and lightning and a thunderstorm and all that. It's dark, and maybe only between the flashes of light can you discern things. The lightning flashes and you can see what you're doing, but otherwise, I mean, it's a terror. There are certain things that I don't like. There are certain things that I do, I would be like, I'm not sure if I'm going to do that. And one of those things is getting in the ocean. I don't mind getting in the ocean. I mind getting in the ocean when it's dark out. We lived near Pensacola for a while when I went to college, and I remember driving across that bridge around 9 o'clock at night, and you can see from the moonlight that black water. Not me. You couldn't pay me enough. I'm not getting in there. I don't know what's in there. It doesn't matter. There could be guppies, but I don't care if there's, I'm not getting in that black water. Imagine that they are on this sea. It is dark. They were expecting to get over in a matter of 2 hours while it's probably still daylight. And here in the middle of it, they see something. In the middle of the flash, the Bible says in verse number 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." You know what the word spirit means in the Bible? It always has the idea of ghost. Spirit, ghost, that part of the being, the person often we call Jesus, or excuse me, the Holy Ghost. It means he is the spirit of Christ. And the idea here is they thought they were seeing some type of demon or some type of ghost. I mean, and they were scared to death. They looked off in between a lightning flash, or maybe the moon was coming through, and they're walking in the water, maybe 100 yards off. Imagine, picture this in your mind. You see something walking towards you. And listen, they were not expecting something good from this being. They didn't think it was Mickey Mouse walking towards them. Actually, if it was a Mickey Mouse, I bet you they would row faster. There's a giant mouse walking towards me on the water. They would probably row faster. But anyways, the whole point is, as they saw this, they were expecting some type of harm. That's the point. I want you to notice in verse number 30. When Peter is walking on the water, everything's fine. But in verse number 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. So as Peter is walking upon the water, everything's okay. He's walking towards Jesus. But then when he sees the wind boisterous, in other words, he sees what the wind can do. It can knock me over. These waves are running into me. I could drown here. He looks back and sees how far that boat is away. He's expecting some type of harm. I want you to listen very carefully. Fear, the sinful fear, always comes from an expectation of harm. I expect something bad to happen. I expect something evil to be done. Many of us fear what might happen to our family. We fear what might happen to us. We fear what might happen as we drive. You know what we're afraid of? We're afraid of harm of being done. If I were to say, Pastor, you and I are going to go out and we're going to go door knocking. A lot of people here, if we were honest and we raised our hand about telling people about Christ, whether it be door to door or whether it be in our personal evangelism as we're at work or whatever, a lot of us would admit tonight that we are fearful. And I want you to know something. To be fearful of this is sin. But listen tonight, most of us would admit that we're fearful. And so I would say, Pastor, okay, me and you are going to go door to door, and I and my evangelistic authority that God has given me, just an amazing ability to understand His will above that of a pastor, I am going to let you know that we're going to visit 10 doors, and all 10 doors, they are going to open the door as soon as we knock. It's not going to be typical where you knock and no one answers. It's not going to be typical where you knock and they slam the door in your face and say, I don't want nothing to do with that. Every door that we knock on, they're going to open the door. And as soon as they see us, I'm going to say, hi, my name's Chris, and this is Pastor. And as soon as those words come out, they are going to fall upon their knees and they are going to grab us by the ankles. And they're going to say, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I have been praying for God to send somebody to show me how to get to heaven. Can you show me? And Pastor, all 10 doors, that was going to happen. All 10 doors, they were going to fall upon their faces and cry out. And sure enough, we would share the gospel with them. And all 10 families would be saved, Pastor. And what if I knew this for sure? If I knew 100% sure that was going to happen. Now, I don't know that for 100% sure, but let's say I did. Do you think there would be any fear? No. Because we know everything's going to go okay. No harm is going to be done to me. Nothing is going to be done to disrupt me or make me feel bad. You see, fear governs us. We automatically expect the worst when we go out. We expect that something bad is going to happen. We expect that our pride is going to be hurt or something's going to happen to us when we don't know the answer. And so we live in fear and we're ashamed. And so we don't ever witness because we're expecting some harm to be done. In our lives, we can be afraid of a lot of things. I mentioned them. We can fear finances. The reason why we fear finances is because we're afraid something bad is going to happen. I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose my cable. My $170 a month cable. Oh, it's going to hurt me bad. And we're going to lose, we're not going to be able to pay for this. And some people say, I can't go to Bible college. I'm afraid I'll get there and the money won't be provided. I'm afraid of this, that I'm going to have to be sent home. And we live our life in fear. A lot of us live our lives and afraid of what people would think. And you're not afraid of their good opinions. You're afraid of their bad opinions. And a lot of us teenagers, we don't live for God because we're afraid of what they might say to us that would hurt us and make us look bad and make us stick out. A lot of us people at work, we're afraid to speak out for Christ. We're afraid to say something because we're afraid of the opinions and we're expecting some harm from them. You see, fear is always based on some expectation of harm. Some of us here are afraid of God's will. We're afraid of that decision that God's been putting upon our heart, and we're fearful of what might happen, and what is God going to do, and what's going to happen to my family, and you're expecting some type of harm to be done in our lives. I want you to know that fear is the sinful emotion that is aroused or caused by an expectation of harm. But thirdly, it's a sinful emotion caused by an expectation of harm, but thirdly, in defining it, it always leads to bondage and control. It is not possible tonight, listen, to have fear without having its chains. You cannot be afraid without being in prison in that area. If you're fearful about money, you're in bondage. If you're fearful about God's will, you're in bondage. If you're fearful about telling people about Christ, you're in bondage in some way. Fear always has bondage in our lives. Let me show it to you here. The Bible says in chapter number 14, look down at verse number 26 again. And when the disciples saw him walk in the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." I want you to notice these next four words. And they cried out. Notice what it says. For fear. That means because of fear. They didn't want to cry out. They didn't say, "You know what, guys, we're going to do as full-grown men, 45, 50, 30 years old. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go on the boat and we're going to cry like a bunch of girls. We're going to scream and we're going to grab each other and we're going to have tears running down our face and we're going to shudder and our veins are going to pop out and our color is going to go out." They didn't want to do this. The Bible says they cried out because of fear. Fear has the ability, listen, to control you. You, if you have fear in your life, in any area, whether it's one area or it's tons of areas, if you have fear, you are a person that is controlled by your emotion. It's impossible not to be otherwise. I remember, Pastor, it's an embarrassing story, but one time I was out in Oklahoma with Brother Prettyman. Many of you know him. You've seen him before. And we got into this church, and when we got there the day after a horrible ice storm had hit in the Tulsa area. Power was out. In fact, we had the whole revival meeting on generators and lights coming down. It was very neat. But during the days, we wanted to go out and tell people about Christ and invite. I mean, it was basically the town was kind of dead. And so what we had done is we said, "Let's go out and let's help people cut down branches that have fallen down and this and that. And then afterward, we can give them a track and invite them to a revival meeting." And we thought it was a great idea. By the way, an act of love is always a great door to witness. Remember that. So we did that, and not one person that we did that for said, "We don't want that track," or did not at least show courtesy in taking the track. So anyways, we did this, and we got up in this tree, and this other guy was doing, this big tree was leaning this way, and he started cutting with this chainsaw, and I had done cutting trees before. I have worked cutting trees before. I've done this. And so as we're going, I'm watching this, and I have the chainsaw in my hand, and I'm watching as he's cutting, and then I'm doing this, and all of a sudden I realize the way he's cutting that, he's about to be finished, and that thing is going to fall on me. It was one of those things where I'm not like thinking, you know, I think that thing's going to fall on me, and, you know, I have time to run. It was one of those split-second realizations, that branch is falling, you know, within one moment. And immediately I ran. I don't remember if I dropped the chainsaw or not. It wasn't running. But I don't remember what happened. But I do remember this. That as I ran, there was something coming out of me that I did not want to come out of me. If you had a video camera up, you would have heard this. It wasn't a scream. It was not a scream. But it was this weird groan that came out of my chest. It was almost like a... And I ran. I didn't care. I was running as fast as I possibly could. And that branch hits the ground. And what after it hit, I mean, Phil and the other guys, the two other guys that were there, were laughing so hard at me. And they're like, did you hear yourself? And after it all stopped, I was like, yeah, well, I didn't mean to do that. And let me tell you the truth, I didn't. We don't want to do that, but the point is this, that fear always controls us. There are ladies here, there are men here that live in the fear of worry. You are constantly, your mind is plagued, it's all the time. Don't you realize tonight that it is controlling so much about you? Fear defined as this, it is the sinful emotion aroused by an expectation of harm that leads to bondage and control. I want to now give you fear's disability. I want you to notice that fear does control us, and I want to show you three ways it controls us. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be back here in a second, so you can leave your marker there. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Fear's disability. Fear has the ability to take away our ability in certain areas. And did you know the book of 2 Timothy is before Hebrews? And I am past Hebrews. I kept flipping between Hebrews and Peter. It's like, nope, that's not where it's at. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. Paul speaking to Timothy. Let's look at verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7. Why? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. I want you to notice this, that if you are saved today, by the way, if you're not saved, you don't have this spirit in you called the Holy Spirit. You are called not a child of God. If you don't have this spirit, you are none of His, the Bible says. And so, if you are saved though, you have the spirit not of fear. What He's saying is, the spirit that is in you, the Holy Spirit, is not the one producing fear. He's not the one doing that. That is either your flesh or it's Satan. It is not God. Any fear like that is not from God. He says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what kind of spirit has He given us? He's given us the spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. And I want you to see something very neat here, and that is this. He gives a contrast that if you have fear, then you don't have these three things. But if you don't have fear, then you do have these three things. And so when fear comes in our lives, mark it down, you will be disabled. You will be in bondage in these three areas. I want to show them to you. First of all, in inability. The Bible says God has given us the spirit of power. Power means ability. That's what the word power means. In the Bible, power actually means one of two things. Either authority, sometimes it means that, or ability. When the Bible says that the Word of God is powerful, it's talking about it has the ability to do what it says it can do. God says here that if you're saved, listen, catch this, the Holy Spirit is able. He is able to work in your life. But if there's fear, He's unable. You see, fear brings bondage in the area of controlling us in things that we could normally do, we no longer can do them. I'm reminded when I saw an American Funniest Home Videos when a boy was walking towards a diving board. He was walking along the edge of the pool. His mom was filming him. He was walking along. He knew how to walk. His legs could do it. He had the ability. He'd been doing it his whole entire life for all those 10 years or whatever it was. And he comes up to the diving board, which was one of them 3-foot diving boards. He steps up there fine. He steps to the next step fine. He steps finally on the diving board fine. He begins to walk. And as soon as that diving board crossed the plane of where the water began, his body froze. It was amazing. He was walking perfectly fine, and he got up, and he climbed up, and as soon as he came... And then for the next 7 minutes, they had to kind of fast forward through it, because he just did like... the whole time, and I mean, he was going like an inch a minute. It was horrible. How did that happen? You understand how that happened. Did that boy not have the ability to walk? No, he completely had the ability to walk, but because of fear... fear bound him that he could not do what he normally would be able to do. Listen tonight. The Bible says that you, child of God, have the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to witness. You have the ability to live for God publicly. You have the ability to live for God inwardly. You have the ability to accomplish things. And yet God says when fear comes in our life, fear grabs that ability and puts us in bondage. There are people here that you ought to be teaching Sunday school. There are people here that you ought to be singing a special. There are people here that you ought to be helping on visitation. You ought to be helping on the bus route. But guess what? Fear has bound you from ability. I can talk perfectly fine, but when I get in front of somebody, I can't do it. That's because of fear. If you could handle fear, you could get in front of people and talk. How does that happen? Fear is the problem. Fear binds up what I normally could do. There's people here, you can talk perfectly fine about hunting with your coworker. You can talk about sports with your coworker. You can talk about politics with your coworker. You can talk about anything with your coworker. But then the moment religion, quote unquote, Christianity comes up, fear grips you. Now all of a sudden I can't talk. How does that happen? Fear always brings bondage. Listen tonight, if there's any area in your life that you're afraid, mark it down. You are disabled. There's an area where you cannot do what you normally could do. I want you to notice, secondly, what fear does. Fear hinders us in what we can do. Secondly, fear hinders us in how we can love. Look what he says. He's given us power and, secondly, love. Love. What would we call love that is bounded? We would call it selfishness. You see, what fear does in a believer's life, or in any person's life, rather, excuse me. Thank you, Mrs. Springer, for that great meal tonight. That was great. That's gross. Take that off the kit. Sorry about that, brother. So anyways, fear causes love in our life. Love should be outward toward God and toward man. That's how God designed love. Biblical love is not about yourself. Biblical love is about God and towards my fellow man. But when I'm afraid, you know what happens? My fear causes my love to turn inward. A few weeks ago, I was able to go on a ride-along with a deputy sheriff in Wisconsin. And we left at 9:30 at night, and we got back at 2:30 in the morning, two nights in a row. I loved it. It was awesome to see people get arrested and in trouble and busted, all those type of things. It was very cool to me. But what was neat also was he shared that back in March, he got in a gunfight with a guy. A guy had an AK-47 in a house. He was outside. There was four police officers, one on each corner of the house and about 20 feet away from it behind trees. So these four officers were hiding. Well, while this guy was going crazy and shooting this AK-47 out the house, they just thought, well, we'll sit here until he runs out of ammo. We're not going to go in and get him. We got all night, so we'll just sit here and wait. And they waited and waited. And finally, what happened was they heard the back window get shot out. So they said, and radioed to each other, that this man is going to escape out the back. That's what we think is going to happen. So the man's name that I was with, his name was Dirk. And Dirk said, he pulled out his iPhone and he looked at the GPS satellite image, and he said, if he goes out that back window, there's only one of two things he's going to do, and I know it. Either one, he's going to go right after those officers over there because he wants to kill somebody. Or two, he's going to try to sneak out, come around this forest area, this woods area, and try to get me. So he said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go around on this side and try to head him off. But I'll know it because the officers will see him come out. So he comes out on this side, and the long story short was all of a sudden he hears a crack about 20 feet away, and there's the guy. And he got in a gunfight with the guy. He took him down. But later, the whole point is this. Later, he was thinking, how in the world? What happened? How did the other officer miss him coming out a window? You're watching the house. How did you miss him? He was furious about it. He almost died from it. And so the other officer said, well, I just didn't see him. Well, the next day, Dirk went back, and sure enough, the tracks of the snow, in the snow that this man had come out, walked within 5 feet of that other officer. Dirk said, Chris, there's no way that other officer did not see him. He was watching the house. This is his duty. He knows what he's doing. He saw him. He said he got afraid. Listen what happened, though. When that officer got afraid, you know what happened? He wasn't concerned with neighbors that could be hurt. He wasn't concerned with his fellow partners that could be hurt. You know what he's concerned with? Self. You see, when you and I live a life of fear, it's not I that's going to hell, it's them. I'm concerned with myself. I'm concerned. They're the ones that I should be sharing the gospel with. I should be loving them. But when I'm afraid of telling them, what happens? I turn, I'm more important. My opinions are more important. How I feel is more important. And we turn into this protective mode. You find that people that are fearful become very protective of themselves, and they have to make sure everything's okay in their own life. And other people are not loved like God wants them to be loved. You see, fear causes our love to turn to selfishness. Notice lastly that fear, it controls our ability, it controls our love, but lastly, it controls our ability to think, our mind. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Did you know having the Holy Spirit, you have been given wisdom to understand. You have been given discernment. But the Bible says that when we fear, all of a sudden our mind will no longer be sound. Let me challenge you. Do not make decisions about your future. Do not make decisions about finances. Do not make decisions in your home if you're afraid. Because the mind will not think as God designed it to think and as the Holy Spirit enables it to think. I remember, this is why I encourage people not to watch horror movies. I want to challenge you, don't watch horror movies because it breeds fear, which God does not like. But I remember when I was younger, I watched a movie that was a fearful horror type of movie. And it was the type of movie where, I won't go into details, but it was the shower and the those type of movies. And I watched it. And I remember that when I was 10, 11, however old I was, we won't get into the actual age. But I remember that after I watched that movie, you know what happens? Your mind begins to play tricks on you. If you go out back door, everything is snapping. Twigs, everything. I mean, a leaf falls and you think it's somebody standing behind you with a gun. And I remember, this is the truth, I walked into my bathroom. It was either that night or the next morning. I walked in my bathroom and I was petrified of what was behind that curtain, that shower curtain. And I remember, this is so embarrassing, I shut the door behind me and I said out loud, "I know you're in there." And you laugh because you understand that's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense that the killer is going to sit in my bathroom all day in the shower waiting for me. Ugh. I really want to get this. He won't come take a shower. It doesn't make any sense at all. How does the mind do that? How does the mind come up with these fanciful things? How does the mind start running down those dark alleys of our mind and start all of a sudden assuming the worst? It's because of fear. Fear will control your mind. And you'll find that as you and I try to make decisions for the Lord, as you and I try to discern, as you and I let our minds try to think on goodly, godly things, that when we're fearful, our minds will be controlled. That's why you find people that are always assuming the worst. Always their mind is running and thinking, well, what if this could happen? And if my kid gets called to this, and if my kid goes here, and if my parents or this happens, and they're always living in this whirlwind and in this unrested mind. How come? Because of fear. Fear controls how we think. Fear controls our mind. Listen very carefully to me. Do not make a decision based upon fear. If fear is in there, you will make, chances are, an unright and an unwise decision. Don't determine whether you're going to Bible college or not based upon with fear involved. Well, I'm afraid of leaving home. I'm afraid of going off to a place that I've never been to before. If fear is there, probably you won't make the right decision. Don't let fear interfere with your thinking. I want you to notice fear defined. Secondly, fear's disability. But lastly, I want to give you fear defeated. Don't answer out loud, but just think in your heart. What am I afraid of? What do I fear? Do I fear God moving in my life? Do I fear God changing jobs? Do I fear God moving me to a different ministry? Do I fear tragedy? Do I fear disease? Do I fear things that might happen to my kids or my husband? Do I fear what's going to happen with my job? What? There's a lot of things we can be afraid of. But listen tonight, if you understand that you are afraid in an area, the only way to make it right is to confess it. That's it. There's no other way, and I wanted you to understand this week, there's no other way to make a sin right than to confess it to the Lord as sin, wanting it to be restored. When you confess it, immediately you enter back into walking in the Spirit. But now what I want to talk about in fear defeated means, how do I overcome fear when it wants to creep back into my heart? When it wants to come flooding back in, I've confessed it, but all of a sudden the temptation comes to fear again. How do I overcome it? I want you to notice what the Bible says back in Matthew chapter 15, and we'll be finished tonight. Matthew chapter 14. How do I overcome fear in my life? Notice what happens when Peter is walking on the water. Verse 29, I don't think he's afraid. He's walking towards on the water to go to Jesus. Everything's fine. The Bible says he was afraid in verse number 31. He cries out, "Lord, save me," verse number 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Now, I don't think Jesus was far away from him. I think Jesus was far away. I don't think Jesus was right next to him. Why? Because I don't think he would have cried out when Jesus is standing right there, "Hey!" And he's right there. I think he would have just went, "I'm okay." So I think that Jesus was away from him. Jesus had some distance. So he was afraid. He said, "Lord, please save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, showing his power, his ability to be there right on time. But then the Bible says in verse 31, "And caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You know what's amazing to me? He didn't rebuke him and say, "Peter, why were you afraid?" He rebuked his faith. Listen very carefully. Fear is nothing but a synonym for doubt. Fear is just another word of saying doubt. That's all it means. You see, godly fear is my trust in God. Ungodly fear is my trust in something besides God. You see, when I fear finances, what is happening? I am saying I believe in some way that finances have more of ability than God has. But if I were to say, "God, I believe you have more ability in this area," my fear is in Him. My trust and my confidence is in Him. And so fear tonight is another way of saying you don't trust God. And so when you thought tonight, "Yep, I fear God, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of finance, I'm afraid of God's will, I'm afraid of change, I'm afraid," whatever it may be, whatever area you said tonight, let's resub the word in, let's put another word in, you don't trust God in that area. God was rebuking him for his lack of faith. When Peter was afraid of the water, he was saying, "I fear the water's power more than I fear God's power." When Peter was afraid that he might sink, he was saying, "I fear what makes sense. I think that that is more understandable than God and what He said." You understand that? The Bible says that when you're afraid, it has to do that you don't trust God. When I'm afraid of telling someone about Christ, I'm not trusting God. You see, the whole point is a life lived of faith is a life of victory. The way to win is the same thing I taught on Tuesday and preached to you on Tuesday. It's walking in the Spirit. It's trusting in Him to do what I cannot do. When I'm afraid of telling my friend about Christ, it's because I'm trusting in myself. I'm trusting in my ability. I'm trusting in my tongue and my knowledge and my wisdom and what I can do and my ability to communicate and my personality. That's what I'm trusting in. But when I tell that person about Christ, I am really, if I do it, I am trusting in the Holy Spirit. I am saying, "I can't do this, God." Anytime I tell someone about Christ, I don't do it in my own strength. I can't. I'm a fearful person. That's who I am. It's my flesh. What God wants is this. I say, "God, in this area of telling people about Christ, I'm afraid. And that's the best I can do. But God, I can't. You can. And so I trust you to do it for me." And He will. You see, faith always wins. Faith is always how we win over sin. How do we get back to walking in the Spirit? I confess that fear to God. "God, you've shown me that I'm afraid in this area." And then 3 weeks down the road, He shows you some other thing or some other area that you're afraid in. And as soon as He shows it to you, you confess it to Him. But the way to stay in that is not by, "Okay, now I'm going to handle it on my own." No, the way to stay walking in the Spirit is saying, "God, you have to do it for me." If I'm afraid of finances, what do? I say, "God, I can't do this. You know what's going on. I don't want to trust our discernment. I don't want to trust our figuring this out. I don't trust how we're going to make it all and do all the... We can't do this, God. You can." I'm afraid about college. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. What you have to say is, "God, I confess that I'm afraid about college. God, I can't do this, but You can. You can give me wisdom. You can show me what is Your will for my life. And I trust You to do what I cannot do." You see, the way to win is faith. I want you to notice something, and I mentioned this to the young people two years ago at chapel, but I want you to give it to the adults tonight. He says, "O thou of little faith." When he says little faith, to me it brought confusion when I first read this, because in another passage, Jesus said, "If you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain." And I don't know how big a grain of mustard seed, but I think it's about that big, and the grain inside a mustard seed is about that big, and a grain is even even tinier. Teensier. That's what it is. It's really small. So Jesus said, if you had that little bitty faith, you could move a mountain. And then he says, "Peter, you know what your problem was? You had little faith." Man, Jesus, you seem to be contradicting yourself here. He wasn't. Of course not. He's perfect. He was saying this. It's not a matter of how big your faith is. It's not a matter of quality. It's not a matter of quantity, it's a matter of quality, meaning the duration is what he was aiming at. Peter believed, didn't he? Yes, we know Peter believed because there was a time when he was walking on the water. And there was a time when he was unfearful. So maybe for about 20 steps he was okay walking. He believed, but there came a moment when he did not believe. What Jesus was saying was not, oh, you had little bitty faith, and if you had big faith you could have done it, but you had little bitty faith. No, he's saying your faith only lasted for 12 steps or whatever it was. And that's how we win over fear. We confess it to God. God, I'm sorry for this sin. And God, I want the continuation of faith in my life. I don't want it to be that just tonight I trust you. I don't want it to be that just tomorrow I trust you. I want it to be that, God, I trust you every day, every minute, every moment of my life, every decision. I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. And it's a faith that endures, is a faith that pleases God. And that's a life that God is pleased with. Remember when the disciple, when the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief? He was saying, God, I believe right now, but there are times when I don't believe. Help that God. I have to believe you. And so how can I win in faith tonight? I win it over fear. It's a continual trusting in the Holy Spirit to do what I cannot do. He's not given you the spirit of fear. He's given you power, love, and sound mind. So you trust Him to do what you cannot do for yourself. How about it tonight, church? What are you afraid of? Tonight, if you God showed you fear, you have a decision whether to get it right or not. Confessing it places you back into walking in the Spirit and fellowshipping with God. Having faith in God and His promises and what He has declared is how you maintain winning over that area of faith, over every area of fear. You know what's interesting to me? Also, in Revelation it says the fearful will have their part in the lake of fire. Did you know tonight if you're afraid of going to hell, that means you're probably going there? That's what it means. Brother Chris, do you fear going to hell? No, I don't. Why? Because I placed not my fear in the hell. I placed not fear in myself. I placed my fear or my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. My fear, my trust is in Him. He saved me. I trusted Him when He died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. He saved me when I trusted Him. And if you're afraid, that means you're not trusting in God in that area. And so tonight it may be that you've never trusted Christ to save you. You don't know for sure you'd spend eternity in heaven. That means you're fearful of this. That means you're not trusting in God in this area. It needs to be tonight that you turn to trust Jesus Christ to save you tonight. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I want to thank you for your good attention tonight and all this week. I'm going to pray and I'm going to have my wife play a song. And when I say amen, if God spoke in your heart, I want you to come and talk to Him about it. In this room, there are many that are in bondage. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Many that are in bondage tonight. You don't witness. You know why? Because you're afraid. You think of only yourself. You know why? Because you're afraid. Your mind runs to and fro, dances all around. There's so much unrest in your mind. You're constantly worried. You're constantly panicking about things. You're constantly at unrest in your spirit. You know why? Because you're afraid. And you are controlled by your emotion. Tonight you need to confess it. And tonight you need to forsake it by saying, God, I trust in You to do what I cannot do for myself. Who would say tonight, Brother Chris, specifically, God spoke to me about an area or many areas that I know I have had an ungodly fear in. I'm afraid of many areas. God spoke to me about it tonight. Would you raise up your hand so I can see it tonight? Many hands all over the room. I'm thankful for that. Listen, if you raised your hand, you have a decision in a moment when I pray. You can confess it. God, you know I'm afraid in this area and I ask You to forgive me. I don't belittle it. It's sin. And I'm sorry for breaking fellowship in this area. I have doubted You in this area. And God, tonight, I turn to trust in You. Let me ask this tonight. Is there anyone here that say, Brother Chris, I'm afraid of something else. I'm afraid that if I died, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I'm afraid. I don't know. Is 98% good enough? No, because there's 2% chance I might go to hell still. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of where I would spend eternity. Would you at least pray for me tonight, Brother Chris? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you forward. Would you pray for me? If that's you tonight, you say, I'm afraid of where I would spend eternity. Would you raise up your hand so I can see it tonight? I'd like to pray for you. No one's looking. Would you raise up your hand so I can see it? Okay, thank you so much. If you said, oh, Brother Chris, I couldn't raise my hand, but you're not sure you'd spend eternity in heaven, would you please come talk to me after the service tonight? I'd be glad to be a help to you. Father, I pray for these hands that were raised who said, I am afraid. Thank You that they have confessed with their hand I've done wrong, but God, I pray they confess with their heart. I've sinned against God. I pray that fellowship would be restored tonight. As now sin has been revealed, Lord, let not fellowship be broken. And I pray that we would trust you in this area. For the man that is afraid to witness, the lady that is afraid to witness, help them to trust you. For the person that's afraid of finances or God's will or things that are going on in their life or this news that I've heard or this thing that might be determined, God, I pray that they would have their trust not in the doctor, not in the report, not in anything of that nature, but they would have their trust in you. Lord, sometimes what we fear will happen, the quote, harm will happen, but God, you are a God who is good and gives grace, and so we place our trust in you. I pray you bless in this invitation time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. My wife's going to begin to play. If God spoke in your heart, why don't you come and talk to Him about it tonight? Many hands were raised. Many, some are coming already. What about you tonight? God spoke to you. You raised your hand and said, God spoke to me about an area of fear. Maybe you're not familiar with coming forward. Maybe you just want to have a seat there in your chair and pray to God. Say, God, I'm afraid in this area and I'm sorry for it. Don't make decisions, sir, in your home when there's fear involved. Don't make decisions about whether I'm going to serve or how I'm going to serve in this church based if there's fear involved. Don't try to figure out God's will when there's fear, because you won't be able to do it. Confess the fear tonight and then walk in faith. How about you tonight, sir? You witness? I don't. You know why? Chances are you're afraid. You need to confess that and say, God, I trust you to do what I cannot do for myself. Many teenagers are afraid to live for God in a public setting, at their school, to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? It's because you're afraid. It's a sin to be afraid of that. Confess tonight, God, I'm afraid of that, and I pray you'd help me to do what I cannot do for myself. Give me ability, give me power, love, and sound mind. Many people in the workplace, it's hard for us to talk about church. Don't be afraid. Many people here tonight, there's news or some tragedy or something you've discovered. Don't be afraid. What have I to fear when God is with me? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Spirit comforts me. His Spirit is my help. Let us not fear. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace instead. He's the one we can trust in. Don't let fear govern your life. I pray the message tonight will be a long-term help, not just a help for tonight, but I pray that any time fear would creep in our heart, any time we would be tempted with fear or have given in to fear, that the Holy Spirit would remind us that we have now sinned and we must confess it and we must turn to trusting in the Lord. Let us be discerning now from this point forward that when we fear, it's an area that I do not trust the Lord, and let us return our confidence in Him.